Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening, welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio with me, Rob Pritchard, and the team with you here for the next hour with a look ahead to the sporting action on Ireland and beyond this weekend coming up tonight. First versus third in the Canada Life Men's Premier League is among the ties in Manx football this weekend. A few months on from its founding, we hear from those behind the Alabama's first ever learning disability and neurodivergent football team. Douglas are on the road in rugby, hoping to get back amongst the top sides in Regional 2 Northwest, with a Manx Shield clash on the cards, and also multiple sides hoping to maintain their perfect start to the 2026 Isle of Man hockey season. That is all to come this evening. Very good evening to listeners here on Manx Radio Friday Sport Preview with me, Rob Pritchard, and our team of correspondents. Over the next hour, we'll be taking a look at the sporting action for the Isle of Man in Manx football, rugby and hockey, both on the island and further afield this weekend. We're going to start off, as we usually do with football, but with something slightly different, because last summer saw the creation of a learning disability and neurodivergent football team on the Isle of Man, the first of its kind here on the island. The team at Onchan AFC welcomes children aged 11 to 15 with around 15 players currently involved on a week-to-week basis. While running the setup are coaches Ben Melling and Connor Thompson. They've been speaking this week with Manx Radio's Darren Timpson about the importance of having a team like this locally and, importantly, what it means to those taking part.
We've been running now for about 5-6 months.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, only just relatively new. Started off with a small group, about 5 or 6 kids, and it's now doubled in size, getting around 10 to 12 kids each week.
Yeah, nearly hitting 15, aren't we?
Yeah, more words getting out, more people are bringing their friends, and it's just a brilliant place to be, I'd say.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's the Special Olympics as well. So how does that work? Is that kids that are involved in the Special Olympics as well that are playing for Onchan as well? Or how does that work?
Separate things. So it's like a gateway into the Special Olympics. So with the football, obviously, you've got Comets session before us, which is for the younger people with learning disabilities or learning difficulties. Then they'll ideally come from Comets up to us lot. Then that's 11 to 15-ish. We go off more ability rather than just age, because everyone's different. You've got younger kids who have the better football on ability who come up from Comets, and then from there their ideal gain is to go straight to the Special Olympics football team.
And you mentioned how it's grown over the last few months. Did you expect the word to get out that quickly to get these many kids involved immediately?
Not straight away, did we? We was quite shocked that we just started with the numbers that we had, and we was hoping that word of mouth might grow it with intention to promote it a little bit further. You know, this whole project came from Onchan AFC, and we've got to give a big shout out to Brian Callow there for taking this project on. The young people that come kind of feel like they didn't quite fit into their football teams all around the island. You know, they had ability, they had footballing sense, but for one reason or other, they weren't quite, you know, enough to make it to the team. So it's just a great opportunity for them to just put on a kit on and feel like they're a part of something. You know, it's unbelievable. So shout out to Brian Callow for getting that started. And I think his intention is to grow that across the island and get other teams on board.
Special Olympics is great, obviously. I don't want to diminish what they're doing, but in terms of having a club on the Isle of Man that has a dedicated disability team, I mean, that's huge, isn't it, really?
Massive. Yeah, it's massive. Yeah, I think over the next 3 to 5 years, the plan is to spread it out, get a team up north, down south, one in east, one in west, then start doing little tournaments, like either 3-a-side, 5-a-side tournaments in between, just depending on how many numbers we get, obviously, and building it up from there.
Going back to the kids' side, you mentioned about how it's important for them to feel like they're part of a team, and this age of 11 to 15-year-olds, I think it was, that I saw on your poster. How important is that for the development of these kids as they grow older?
It's huge, isn't it? You know, it's this transitional age from primary school where you're kind of traditionally wrapped in cotton woolen. A lot of these young people have got sort of hidden long-term health conditions behind the scenes as well. So they're extra, you know, wrapped up in cotton wool a little bit. And this transition from secondary school is massive for any kid, isn't it? You know, you're starting to form a bit of an identity there. So having this togetherness to be able to put on a shirt and be proud to wear this shirt and say, I'm a part of something, you know, it's it's great. And you see the faces light up when they get the kit every Friday. They're like, yes, coach, what are you, you know, and it's that's what we're there for. That's what we're, you know, here to do.
How do the training sessions work? Do you play matches or is it just basic training?
So the training works. We split it out. We've got the younger group and the older group. Just a bit of training, bit of fun, running about, working on the football and abilities, the general aspects of football while also having fun. And then we always go into a little game at the end, don't we?
Yeah.
Include the coaches, which is always fun to see them trying to kick us.
That's where Connor comes in. Connor is the mastermind behind the activities. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing most of the time.
He just
looking
up
over
and
smiling, yeah.
Is there anything else on the Isle of Man from the FA's point of view or from football just generally that you'd like to see change when it comes to disability football or sport in general, really?
Honestly, just offering more up to those children who do have the either learning disabilities or learning difficulties, just showing that they can take part as well, basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be some big plans, especially if more clubs start to get involved with this. I think, yeah, without a doubt, I think as soon as the word starts getting out more, I think this is going to grow exponentially. And I think more clubs will get involved, more children will get involved. And before we know it, this island will be a leading island, if not all across the UK in this kind of subject. So very exciting times.
That was Onchan AFC's Learning Disability and Neurodivergent Team coaches Ben Melling and Connor Thompson speaking to Manx Radio's Darren Timpson this week. Well, for anyone interested in finding out more details, training sessions take place for the team on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Centre 21 on Greenfield Road in Douglas. Formal diagnosis is not required to take part, and anyone who wants to find out more details is invited to contact Connor on 223 500.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
Well, we're going to be sticking with football, and joining us in the studio is our football correspondent, Tony Meppam, as always. Tony, good evening. Before we get to the fixtures, just want to come to you very quickly on what we've just heard there from Ben and Connor and the Onchan AFC side. A few months down the line now since this first of its type team on the Isle of Man was formed, they've now got around 15 players on board. How good is that to see in Manx football that we've got a team like this for players on the island?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, and credit to Onchan Football Club for taking it on, because, you know, it's a lot of work and it's getting the coaches as well, commitment. But there's been disability football around for quite a while now, and it's just nice that we can, you know, get new people involved, because I think it's something that certainly the Isle of Man Football Association always try and do is accommodate people who whatever football they want to do. And, you know, like walking football, they started it off and they've gone on their own and doing very well. And this disability football as well is great to see, and, you know, credit to them. But, you know, it's like anything, it's getting the volunteers in, Rob, to run the show, and well done to the coaches for taking it on. And, you know, just giving up their spare time, because it's a big, big commitment. You know, it's you've got to be there on a specific day, specific time, and, you know, well done to them for getting it off the ground. And hopefully some more areas around the Isle of Man might pick it up and have teams as well.
Who knows? It'd be exciting to see if they do. All the very best to those behind the team there on what they're doing going into the future. Looking ahead to this weekend, Tony, and again, just before we take a look at the fixtures, there is one key issue that has come up yet again this weekend, reared its head, if you like, and that is a situation with referees that are available this weekend. And as far as we understand, it's not looking good in some areas this weekend. What can you tell us about that?
No, it isn't. And we're tight on numbers every single week. It doesn't matter what we do. And, you know, it's just one of those that I think there was two short earlier on in the week, and now we're seven. And I've had a look at the fixtures that, you know, are struggling to find officials. And we've got away with it over the last few weeks, Rob, with the weather conditions where we've lost a few games. But, you know, I think the Isle of Man FA have got to change angles on this, because it's certainly not working. You know, we're not getting enough referees through to referee. It's all right, these people doing the courses and using it for other reasons, and that's fine, no problem. But we want referees to qualify to referee games on Saturdays, Sundays or midweek. And, you know, I know the numbers are whatever, they're probably up to 60 now. But Rob Slinger is doing a tremendous job on the referees' appointments. He's working with like 20, 25, and it's just not good enough. So we've got to try and find a different way of attracting people in to do it. And I think it's time for a change. We've tried something three or four times now. It's not working. We're not getting the numbers in. And you can't say that, you don't get any money. Yes, you do get paid, but you don't do it for that. It just helps with the expenses of kitting yourself out. And I know the clubs are taking it on board now. The players are taking it on board to behave and respect the referees. And there's some really good young referees coming through. When I say young, is probably based on what we normally have, our referees 50 plus, but there's some good ones coming through, and it's all about encouraging them, keep them in the game, and hopefully they'll follow suit and be as good as they are at the moment.
Of course, this is a topic we've covered extensively over the last few years, and I'd love to ask you more about it. I'm sure it'll probably come up again on Saturday Sport Classified tomorrow with Ben Cunningham. We'll see what becomes of that on Saturday, because we are tight for time this evening,
yep,
taking a look at the action that is to come this weekend, but something to revisit, no doubt. Let's take a look then at the fixtures this weekend. The Canada Life Men's Premier League, we've got 6 games down, all bar one kicking off at 2 p.m. Going to start here with what could be an intriguing one at the Niverson Stadium, because it's third versus first. Onken up against the league leaders, Corinthians.
Yeah, it is. And I watched this game the other way around. It was Corinthians v Onken at Bala Fletcher. And Corinthians were lucky not to be 3-0 down at half-time, I thought, because they just couldn't deal with the forward line that they've got. And that's something that they'll have a look at tomorrow and try and correct. There's no Luke Murray. He's not in the squad for Corinthians tomorrow. But the rest of the players are pretty well fit. And Onken will go in this, I think, with a lot of confidence, because you've seen them recently. And they're a really good young side, getting better every week. People like Carl Presley, he came from Corinthians, so he'll be looking to impress. And he's done that all season. So well done to Carl. But just right the way through the team, they're littered with really good players. You know, Andy Asprey with a hat-trick last week. It shows you where he is. And then you've got Ethan Leavers, you've got Tom Creer. And then I think defensively is the one that's done it for me. They've sort of gelled together really well, and when you look at Patrick Riley and other players, they've been playing out of their skins, and well done to them. Tight game, but I thought, got to go with Corinthians, just take it.
Well, sandwiched between on Corinthians in first and Onken in third are Peel, of course, second in the table, 4 points behind Corinthians, but crucially still with 2 games in hand. And they're coming up against Foxdale, bottom of the table, Tony, and Foxdale still the only team in the top flight without a win this season.
Yeah, it is, and you feel sorry for Foxdale, but I think they knew at the start of the season it was going to be a tough old gig for them, because, you know, they lost key players, and, you know, one or two sort of other players have always been about, would score goals for them. Jay Chatwood's still there, and Jay's one of the best in the business. Yeah, it's just getting the supply to him, and, you know, it's up to people like Ricky Newsham and others, Kevin Pullman if he plays. Defensively, they've looked all right. Scott Cummins in there, Matthew Cubbin, you know, goalkeepers strong. So I just think, you know, Foxdale have got to do the best, batting the hatches down, and Lee Gale and Jason Chalmers will be playing against their old club members, if you like, from last season. But Peel are one or two players short at the moment, but still Sam Kenyick is playing brilliantly at the back, and then when you look at Ben Sturgeon, the new players come in, he's flying as well. So I've got to go for Peel for a comfortable win.
And over at Glen Road, Laxey, who only narrowly lost out 3-2 against the leaders Corinthians last time out. Laxey fifth in the Premier League at the moment, only 3 points off Onken in third. They're going to be hosting Union Mills this weekend.
Yeah, and they've got sort of game in hand as well, but Union Mills isn't going to be easy, because I think Ryan Kelly's team he's got at the moment is a lot stronger. Some players are back in. There's goals in there. Dominic McCarry-Brennan, if they can get him with the scoring boots on, then that'll be a main threat. Tyler Hughes, we know what he's like. But I think it's better when Owen Quayle and Nathan Yates are playing. They just look a more solid team. But sort of Laxey will be just disappointed. I think Johnny Palmer will be, with the way things have gone. He'll be reflecting on the game last week. To me, it was there for the taking against Corinthians. But Johnny Palmer, I think Brody Patience broke his shoulder by or something, I think. So he'll be missing. Ethan Hawley will be suspended. So it's going to be left to other players to pick up the gauntlet and see what happens. But I think Laxey might just have enough.
Over at Blackberry Lane, now this could be a very big game, Tony, towards the bottom of the table at the moment, because it'll see Douglas High School Old Boys hosting Braddon, and Douglas High School Old Boys second from bottom in 12th at the moment on 5 points after 14 games. Braddon just above them, 10 points after 15 games. So 5 points between these two sides who were promoted into the top flight last season. And Douglas High School Old Boys, they've got that game in hand, but how big a game for both these sides could this be, Tony, in trying to secure a bit more security for the remainder of the season?
It's absolutely huge, Rob, because I always say, you've got to beat the teams around you to have a chance of staying up. So, you know, Old Boys are 12th, Braddon are 11th. Okay, there's 5 points difference, but Old Boys do have that game in hand. But then you've got to pick up a bonus ball somewhere along the way. You know, Old Boys did that. I know it was in the cup against Ramsey, but it shows that they're capable of it. And then, you know, when you're looking at you got Robbie Ward in there, the manager, player manager, good experience. Mark King at the back, good experience. But the younger lads, Dave Wilson and others, have shone, and Sam Holliday in goals, a brilliant goalkeeper. So I think Old Boys start off maybe a slight favourites in current form, but it just depends what Will Smith's team is like, because again, Liam Sales signed for them recently. He can score plenty of goals. You've got Duncan Reid on that left-hand side. So there's good delivery. There's good chances. And I just think, you know, it's going to be a real pressure game for both sides. I think it's going to be a draw, but Old Boys
it's
will start.
It's tough one to call at the moment, isn't it?
I just think it's going to be a draw. Yeah, I really do. It's too much at stake.
The other two games in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, the early kickoff at the Bowl sees St Mary's, who we've mentioned in recent weeks, Tony, have just seemed to very quietly have been progressing up the table, fourth at the moment and only 1 point off Onken in third. So if Onken were to drop points this weekend, St Mary's were to get maximum points, they could find themselves as high as third at the end of Saturday. But they're not going to have a walk in the park. They're at home against Ayr United.
Yeah, it just depends what Ayr United squad's like. I don't know if Sean Kelly's going to play. I don't know if Harry Best is going to play, because they were on the team sheet last week. So we'll wait and see, because it's been a bit late. I don't know if FC Alaman squad's been named yet. No, so you know, Rick's mulling over it what to do, and you know, it could affect Ayr United here. But you know, they were thumped last week, Ayr United 3-0, and as you rightly say, St Mary's just sneakily creeping up that table. You can understand, you've got Jack McVeigh in there at the back, you've got Mark Wolfenden up front, then you've got Joe Burquist on that right hand side. He's quick. Carl Clark played in the last game because he could, but again, we'll wait and see if he is in the FC Isle of Man starting team. But I just think St Mary's will prove a little bit too strong. I think Ayr are out of sorts at the moment. They're not sort of playing as a team. There's new players coming in, and hopefully it'll gel together in the next few games and keep them in a better position.
And the sixth and final game in the Canada Men's Premier League this weekend is the two sides operating smack bang in the middle of the table at the moment. Rushen United in sixth. They travel to St John's United in seventh. But both these two sides, Tony, are still very much within contact, if you like, off the top five.
They are, but I just think St John's are in sort of better form. I think Rushen, you know, when they couldn't score a goal last week and Aaron Hawley didn't play, which didn't help them. I noticed Joe Kelly, who I'm a big admirer of, I think he's a really good player, was on the subs bench. So Andrew Moody's doing something, he's tweaking around with things. But I think against St John's, the forward line that they've got there is going to be very, very difficult to control. And I just feel like Callum Taggart and others will have a real good go at Rushen United. And I think Will Brown's team know that they're in good form, and that's why I go for St John's to take the points.
Over to Ardern and Drugon Limited, Division 2, four games this weekend. Now, two results that have probably raised a few eyebrows last weekend was that the current two title contenders, Castletown and Colby, both lost their respective GH Call at Woods Cup preliminary round games. Castletown losing away at St George's and Colby defeated at Moran. And the irony is that in terms of returning to the league here, they face the exact same opponents this weekend. Castletown head to St George's and Colby to Moran. The two southern sides, Tony, after last weekend, maybe with a point to prove in the league this weekend.
Very much so. I think Castletown have, because yeah, I was really disappointed with Castletown, to be honest with you, because I thought they'd have more about them. It was all a little bit long, you know, ball over the top. And when you've got Sean Quay there, you don't do that, because Sean's just going to pick it out for St George's. And I just feel if St George's have got Sean Quay playing, which I think they will do, Chris Bass as well, then it just gives them a little bit of help. Because when you look at that team, Rob, when you look at 5 years ago, the players that they had and the ages of them, now they're kids, and all they've got to do is, Carl Gartland's doing a good job with them, is just let them develop and see if they can get something out of it. But you know, to beat Castletown last week, that took some doing, and a really good performance for them. And if they can show that same determination, then they could cause problems for Castletown. But I know I'm being a little bit harsh. I don't think Castletown could play as bad as they did last week. I thought they really struggled to try and break St George's down.
And Colby Turner, well, this is the game you're going to be going to tomorrow, this Moran versus Colby. So Moran 2-1 winners over Colby in the Cup last weekend. How do you see things maybe this time?
Yeah, I think I had a bit of a few messages from David Brew a couple of weeks ago. He's quite happy with the way things are going. They're getting a run of fixtures, which is more important, Rob, because they haven't had many games of late. But Colby, again, looking at their team sheet, they've got it there. And Seb Spears is in there. They've got Carl Hickey. But Steve Collister's back in the starting lineup, and he got the all-important goal for them last week. But it wasn't enough to beat Moran. But I think Moran's squad is strong. They've got one or two sort of players in there who can do the business. And I just think Brown will beat Colby once again.
And of course, two other games elsewhere in Ardern and Drungan Limited Division 2 tomorrow. Douglas Rawl, they're going to be hosting third place Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
Yeah, I think Ramsey Youth Centre will win it. I know they've changed things around a little bit team-wise, and you know, it's come up trumps for them. They're keeping the pressure on the clubs at the top of the table. As well with Douglas Rawl, Jordan Cowans, the boy, scores goals, and Simon Dooley can get them as well. I think Rawl will find it a little bit too tough against Ramsey Youth Centre.
And elsewhere, it's a meeting of the bottom two sides, because Douglas and District in 10th host Governors Athletic in 9th. And Tony, a chance for both these sides to potentially get their first league win of the season.
Yeah, I think Governors are just a little bit stronger than Douglas and District. Douglas and District struggle to score goals. Obviously, they concede plenty. You can just look at their sort of goal difference and, you know, minus 84, it says it all, Rob, when you look at Governors minus 34. And, you know, Governors, OK, they've only got 2 points. D&D have got that one, but I don't think it's that close. I think Governors will win this game and take the points home.
Take a quick look through the combination leagues. Canada Life combination one. So before we get to the fixtures, here's just the state of play at the top of the table. Corinthians leading the way after 14 games on 32 points. Just a point behind them are Ramsey after 14 games. And then just 2 points further back again on Ramsey in third are Peel as well. So just 3 points separating the top three in Canada Life combination one. This could be a battle that goes right down to the wire, this combination one title, as the season goes on. So Tony, very quickly, could you just take us through the fixtures taking place in combination one this weekend?
It certainly will. Corinthians against Onken. Corinthians looking pretty strong. I've seen a squad, so I'm going to go for Corinthians to win that one. Union Mills against Laxey. Laxey sort of had a real good go at Corinthians last week, but Corinthians just, if you like, got it together towards the end and won the game, so I'm going to go for Laxey to win that. Braddon against Old Boys. You know, Old Boys combination are playing really well, so you've got to go with Old Boys in that one. Foxdale against Peel. Let's see what the score here, and I don't mean that horrible to Foxdale, but Peel have scored 30 goals in two.
So without conceding as well.
Without conceding. So let's see how they do against the team that's at the bottom of the table. So you've got to go for Peel. United against St Mary's. St Mary's to win that one. And Rushing United against St John's. I just think St John's haven't got the players this season, so it's going to be tough for them. But then Rushing just slipped down the little table in fourth, 26 points. So they're 6 points behind the leaders. But they've got enough, I think, to win that game tomorrow afternoon.
And then rounding things out on Saturday, six games in Ardern and Drungan Limited combination two. Again, just a quick reminder of how the table looks at the moment. Paul Rose United won 14 of their 15 games so far on 42 points at the top of the standings. But only 2 points further back are Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, and have a game in hand on Paul Rose United. They've only played 14. And then just below Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys in third by virtue of goal difference are Douglas Athletic, also on 40 points. But they've all played two games more than Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys and one more than Paul Rose United. So still just 2 points separating the top three, but with a mixture of games in hand for the likes of Ramsey Centre and Old Boys and Paul Rose United at the top. So Tony, the six games in combination two this weekend.
Yeah, I think Jim's against Moran will be a close battle. I know Jim's ahead of Moran in the league table, but the close, you know, points-wise, there's not too much difference between them. I'm going to go for Moran to win that. Malou against Michael United. You won't have heard this one yet, but this game's been moved to Michael now because Malou just a little bit worried about their pitch, so that's fine. Another week of rest, hopefully, will help things. Ramsey Youth Centre against Douglas Rawl. There's a few sort of good battles going to be in this game here, but Ramsey Youth Centre are looking to close in on Pulley with losing that game they did a couple of weeks ago, so I'll go for Ramsey Youth Centre to win that. Governors Athletic against Douglas and District. This one's at Colby, just get used to that. Governors Athletic's home ground is now at Colby. I'm going to go for Governors Athletic. Castletown against St George's, go with Castletown. And Colby against Douglas Athletic. Well, Douglas Athletic are third, Colby 2 places behind them in fifth. I think that'll tell the story in Athletic to win.
So all games on Saturday kick off at 2 p.m. with the exception of St Mary's versus Ayr United in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, starting slightly earlier at 1:45 p.m. Turning to Sunday, another doubleheader coming up in the Canada Life Women's Floodlit Cup, 2 games back to back at the Bowl in Douglas. Tony, first of all, just very quickly, the 2:10 kickoff to start things off. Union Mills still searching for their first win of the season in all competitions after returning to the Women's League system up against Onken.
Yeah, and I think Onken know that they've got to just do the job, because they want to get qualified for the top four. You know, Peel and Corinthians you'd expect, but then it's a battle for the others. So I'm going to go for Onken to win that one. But, you know, Union Mills have done really well. They're getting teams out and they're improving all the time. And they'll be glad. Well, this is near enough the last game of the Floodlit Cup. Then we'll have the semi-finals and the final, and then back on grass.
and then the game afterwards. Tony, this is a battle of the titans. It comes around so many times a year, but when it comes to women's football on the Isle of Man, the two giants of the game at the moment, Corinthians versus Peel.
Absolutely, and if anyone wants to you know, just see the standard of footballers, watch these two teams, because my word, they're littered with Ireland players, both of them. Peel have got the bragging rights at the moment, haven't they, because they beat Corinthians 2-1 earlier on in the season on grass. But really, there's nothing on this one, because it's an open draw, so the top four sides will make up the semi-finals of the Floodlit Cup, and then it's whoever, so they might draw each other in the semi-final, but it's just that confidence booster, isn't it, where you can beat your closest opposition. And that's what sort of Corinthians and Peel have had, some real good battles, and I expect this one to be absolutely the same. Tight game. You know, my team, I've got to go for them, I think, and that's for Corinthians to win.
Very well. And not forgetting, of course, that there'll be two games in the Masters football on Sunday as well. Both games kicking off at 2 o'clock. Peel versus Laxey, that's taking place at Peel, and Corinthians versus St Mary's at St Mary's. Well, Tony, got around 90 seconds or so. I just wanted to get your thoughts on something that has emerged with FC Isle of Man throughout the week. They brought on, well, from the start, actually, a young player called Will DeCandia on from Oldham Athletic to come and help out the squad in midweek in that 3-2 defeat to West Didsbury and Chorlton. That seemed to spark some debate as to the situation with that, because there were some that were arguing that FC Isle of Man should just be for Manx players, whereas there are those on the other side that say, well, actually FC Isle of Man were critically low on squad numbers and it's something necessary they had to do to keep the integrity of the squad and make sure that match was fulfilled. Do you have any particular views on that situation?
It's a tough one, and I know what you're saying about comments, Rob, and I haven't read them, purely to stay neutral with it, because I've got my own views on it. Yes, it was started for Manx players to play. But what I'm looking at the moment, I think Rick's struggling to get Manx players to play, because, you know, the squads are changing around. They've lost a lot of players at the start of the season who haven't gone. They've got injuries as well. And when you look at sort of that team that played midweek, there's a few players there that haven't played for FC Isle of Man for a while. So it just shows that they're struggling to get the players together for the midweek games. And even on Saturdays, it seems to be happening if they sort of travel. So my thing is that, you know, FC Isle of Man aren't in a great place in the league, and if one or two players come in and actually do a job and can get them out of that danger, we don't want FC Isle of Man to go down. Absolutely not. So I think it's one of them. They're looking at it, trying to make themselves safe, and then they can look. But from what I heard, that the player only signed for one game anyway. So whether that's true, I do not know. But, you know, it's one of them. I don't like to get involved in the politics. Just let the social media warriors, let them crack on and cause the unrest.
Yeah, so just for a bit of context, FC Isle of Man 21st in the table at the moment, but they are 11 points clear at the moment of the drop zone. They'll be looking to try and improve on that this weekend. They're facing South Liverpool at the Bowl in Douglas, kickoff at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. South Liverpool beat FC Isle of Man 3-1 in October last year in the reverse fixture early in the season. FC Isle of Man also looking to try and arrest a run of three straight defeats that started just at the end of 2025 and here at the start of 2026. If you're not heading down to the Bowl tomorrow night, we at Manx Radio have got you covered. Full live match commentary from myself and Darren Timpson, FC Isle of Man versus South Liverpool on Manx Radio AM 1368. Well, Tony, thank you very much. We'll be taking a look at rugby after the break and after the news. Two fixtures this weekend, including maybe a Douglas side with a point to prove in Regional 2 Northwest. Back in a few moments.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time has just gone 4 minutes past six, turning our attention to rugby this weekend, and much of the focus will be on Douglas. It was all smiles toward the end of 2025, but the last few weeks have proven a little more tricky for Phil Kringle's side. Three defeats in their last four, and looking to try and get back amongst those at the sharp end of Regional 2 Northwest after such a brilliant start. And they can hopefully start to do that from their perspective this weekend. Rearranged tie this weekend away at Varley Park against the Burnage side, sitting sixth in the table, to take a look through this weekend's action, which also includes Manx Shield fixture coming up in the south of the island, is our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. And Dave, I was listening to some of your comments actually whilst I was not on air last weekend with regards to Douglas, that despite the defeat against Winnington Park last week, there is still quite a bit of positivity around there.
Well, I'm obviously an eternal optimist, and we've been talking about Douglas and this game in hand since October, I think, when the game away at Burnage was called off. And at first it was just a game in hand, and then as November went through and they picked up win after win after win and found themselves top of the table, at the end of November the game in hand would keep them top and give them a cushion against the other sides if they won it. And obviously since November we've, I'm not going to say fallen off a cliff, but we've certainly had a minor blip, for want of a better way of describing it. I think they've lost 4 out of 5 since the end of November now. And that's put them in a slightly more difficult position. They're currently in third. If they win their game in hand, they will remain in third, but they'll close the gap to second place just to 1 point. They've got most of the difficult ones, I think, out of the way with. I think Birkenhead Park have still got to come to the Isle of Man. They have league leaders North Ribblesdale away in their final game of the season. But they've got Sandbach out of the way with, I think Vale of Lune is potentially another banana skin for them. So that third place will hold them in good stead. I think, off the top of my head, Vale of Lune are playing North Ribblesdale tomorrow, which will give Douglas an opportunity, particularly if North Ribblesdale can beat Vale of Lune. It'll give them a little bit of comfort underneath them. So fingers crossed. It's away, it's on the all-weather surface, which is mixed, I think, for both sides. Everybody who plays on it doesn't 100% like it, but they like the fact that your games are guaranteed as well, so it's a sort of two-edged sword, really. And the Douglas squad is starting to show, I don't want to say cracks, but they've got a few injuries. Owen Carvin's out, Blake Snell's out, Craig Martin's out, and there's even a new face on the team sheet tomorrow, Sheldon Higgins at fullback. That's a name I'm not familiar with. But aside from that, the side's not too bad. We've got, I think, Percy Hampton creeping onto the bench. Percy's obviously doing his big thing with his blog and everything that goes with that. But it's good to see Percy back. Mark Oldfield back on the team sheet. I think this is going to be his first team sheet appearance this season. He's been out with an injury for quite some time now. And both Mark and Percy are very abrasive players. Percy gives you the X factor because you never quite know what he's going to do next, whereas Mark just gets into the opposition's faces and gets them to concede penalties. He's a master of the dark arts, let's call him that. But that's a reasonably strong Douglas side going away. They beat Burnage only a couple of weeks ago at Portishead, so chances are they should be looking hopeful.
Just to add some numbers to what Dave's been saying about the state of play in the table, as Dave has rightly said, Douglas sitting third in the table at the moment after 14 games. Sandbach in second after 15, are 6 points ahead of Douglas on 54 points, and then a further 3 points ahead of Sandbach. Sitting at the top of the moment are North Ribblesdale, who themselves have a game in hand on Sandbach below. And as Dave also rightly pointed out, North Ribblesdale are actually playing Vale of Lune as well. So one that Vale of Lune sat in fourth, just a point behind Douglas. So likely not an easy trip, or test, I should say, for North Ribblesdale this weekend. Well, we can bring you the Douglas 15, the starting 15, well, the squad as a whole, that is making the journey to Burnage this weekend. So numbers 1 to 15 in the starting 15 in order are as follows. We have Simon Hoddenott, Josh Campbell, Brandon Haas, Harry Cartwright, Connor Garland, John Dutnell, Blake Everson, Captain Liam Kirkpatrick, Harry Wallace, Matty Wood, Kyle Martin, Josh Duncan, Harry Hewson, Ollie Corkish and Sheldon Higgins. And the three substitutes for Phil Kringle's side are Mark Oldfield, Percy Hampton and Craig Martin. Just quickly before we move on, Dave, to the local fixture that's coming up this weekend as well. From the Douglas side of things, I suppose it's a $1 million question that I'm sure Phil Kringle would just love the answer to on a piece of paper, but it's not that simple. When you find yourself in a situation like that after a strong start, you hit one of those stumbling blocks, if you like. How do you get yourself out of that and make sure that in some form or another you're keeping yourself in touch at the top end of the table?
Well, I think the first thing he's got to do is give the players a little bit of reassurance. Yes, okay, they've lost a couple of games. Maybe they shouldn't have lost them. He's got to focus on where their mistakes were made, where they allowed the opposition to get in, try and work on those areas in training. But just reassure the players that they were good enough at the end of November. They haven't changed. They haven't got any worse. If anything, they're probably a little bit fitter and a little bit stronger than they were then. So they're actually probably better than they were at the end of November. If they just persevere, the results will come their way. So a little bit of reassurance for the players, because they're going to be looking at the league table. They're going to be looking at the fixture list. They'll be looking at their working shift patterns and see when they can and can't travel and when they can and can't get to training. And just need a little bit of reassurance from Phil to say, look, things haven't gone so well, but let's kick on. We're better than this. We were on top at the end of November. We can be on top again. And just keep the guys moving forward.
Yeah, still a long way to go this season in Regional 2 North West. The other game this weekend sees the return once again of the Hartford Homes Manx Shield, and it's a battle of South versus West, if you like, because Southern Nomads are back on home turf at Ballykillia Park this weekend. They're going to be hosting Western Vikings, Dave.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky, the Manx Shield. What we had pre-COVID was probably exceptional, the golden years of competition. What we've got post-COVID now is a three-team league, and it's very difficult, I think, with the intermittent nature of the fixtures to keep the players up for it. Nomads have got their junior age groups coming up. The Junior Manx Cup started. I think there's a couple of fixtures this weekend. But it really, really is awful for the Southern Nomads players. And they've had one friendly away at Crewe, I think it was earlier on this season. They've also had the Cheshire Bowl game against Ramsey. That was really, really close as well. Ramsey only won that by a few points in the end. So it shows that Nomads have got the players, the calibre of players needed to perform well, but the difficulty is keeping those players motivated with the very sparse nature of the Manx Shield fixtures. Hopefully we can see maybe Ramsey or Vagabonds get a second team going, and maybe those teams can come in next season, but that's all pie in the sky. You need to have the clubs working on their juniors and bringing players through and attracting new players in to have that to happen. And I know Ramsey are working very hard, and I'm sure all the others are too. Don't want to blow a Ramsey trumpet, which I often do, but I'm not going to blow that. I'm going to say everybody's working on it hard, and everybody wants to see a much more competitive Manx Shield. At the moment, Douglas runaway leaders, the Douglas Celts, they're, I think, something like 17 points clear at the top. There's still time for that to be overturned. In second place, it's Western Vikings, and Nomads, from being the form team in Manx rugby for a number of years, have actually fallen away a little bit, and they'll want to win, or they'll want to pick up a win this week and see if they can kick on from that and maybe have a go properly at the Douglas Celts in their next matchup.
So for these two teams, off all of the back of what you just said there, Dave, particularly like you say with Nomads and a rather barren fixture list, particularly for them so far as well, with this opportunity coming up in the Manx Shield, yes, Douglas Celts have that big lead as it stands at the moment, but is this an opportunity not just to get points on the board, but to themselves, both Nomads and Vikings, I should say, for both of them, is it maybe a chance to prove a bit of a point?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, Western Vikings have got some experienced players there who've been playing with Vagabonds in the league system. The league fixtures are at a little hiatus right now, get back underway on the 14th of February. So there's a chance for those players to drop back in at Western Vikings and see if they can't make a difference. Harry Goodwin and Ed Knight are the two names that spring to mind. But one thing that the players will have in mind, or the clubs will have in mind, is that I think there's a meeting of the Manx Executive Committee for Rugby on next Wednesday night, and there's talk of the Manx Cup and what it's going to look like this season. There's some proposals being kicked around fixture-wise. Not sure how the executive are going to go with it, but Southern Nomads are likely to have games coming up against probably Ramsey, Douglas Celts and Vagabonds. And they need to be in the best position to take those games on and actually do themselves justice. And they're not going to do that unless they start getting a decent team list out and pick up some results in this Manx Shield competition.
And just finally, on a couple of the teams that aren't in action this weekend, we've obviously got Vagabonds, Ramsey and Vagabonds ladies who aren't in action this weekend. So at this busy time of year, do you think they'll appreciate the rest a little bit?
Definitely Ramsey will. I know there's Duan Collister has his cold water dip at Ramsey tomorrow. He's doing a minute a day escalation program with cold water dipping. Start on the 1st of January with 1 minute. Tomorrow they're going to be in the sea off the Murrick Park for 24 minutes. That's at 1:30, so the Ramsey players will be getting a bit of cold water therapy tomorrow, I'm sure. That'll keep them out of mischief. Not sure what the other clubs will be doing, but we've got the Six Nations starting as well very shortly. Everyone's getting excited about that. There'll be a lot of players missing going to games and all the rest of it that goes with it. So everybody's starting to build up now towards the sharp end of the season is probably the best way to describe it. And a couple of weeks off will do everybody the power of good.
Just very quickly, actually, talking about the Six Nations as well, we've seen Bevan Rodd's been selected again in the England 36-man squad from Steve Borthwick as well. So good again to see the 2023 Alavan Sportsman of the Year involved.
Indeed, and I'm not going to... It's going to sound awful because I was just thinking it in my head. Yeah, of course they've called him up because they're a bit short in the front row. they have had, the England squad have had a couple of injuries to recognised front row players, which means that there is opportunity now for other players in the pecking order. So Bevan's going to get a nod potentially as a starter, but there are a couple of other fringe players coming in as well. So great opportunities for everybody. And we've seen the French team announced, or the French squad announced this week, missing Damien Penaud and Greg Aldrit. Some of the big name players being left out because they're not currently displaying the form that the French management require. So loads of opportunities in the Six Nations. Nothing is going to be more exciting, at least for me.
Indeed. And, yeah, you're going to be glued to the television screen. I know you will be, Dave. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to be taking a look at hockey next and taking a look ahead to what is game week 3 of the 2026 men's and ladies senior leagues. A couple of sides have made perfect starts to the season in the opening couple of games. Can they keep up those good impressions, or can someone else potentially surprise across the respective divisions? We'll be with our hockey correspondent, Ben Cunningham, in the next few moments.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time is fast approaching 19 minutes past six. We're finally going to be taking a look at hockey this evening. It's been a busy and dramatic start, and fast-paced start, it must be said, to the 2026 Isle of Man men's and women's season. And, of course, the continuation of the mixed under-15s league as well. A couple of teams, multiple teams, across the men's and ladies' leagues are made perfect starts so far. Looking ahead to this weekend's fixtures, can any of them keep them up, or will there be a surprise or two sprung amongst the fixtures? We'll take a look at the fixtures with our hockey correspondent, Ben Cunningham. Ben, before we get to the fixtures, actually, it's the first time we've actually been able to catch up since a couple of games last Sunday as well. We did, of course, hear about all the action on Saturday with yourself on Saturday Sport Classified last time. But on Sunday, we had three Isle of Man national teams in action, specifically the ladies over 45s, under 18 girls and under 16 girls. Two of those teams coming away with victories, Ben. The under 16 girls winning on penalty shuffles against Leek in the England Hockey under 16 girls Tier 2 play. And the ladies over 45s, a 3-1 victory over Deeside Ramblers in the EH Women's over 45s VARS competition. Great results for both teams.
Absolutely, great results for both teams. And then, like you say, just a narrow defeat for the under 18 girls. A 3-2 defeat there, but they were really sounded a really competitive game. Goals coming from Fern Bogatzi and Macy Crellin in that game, but just the Isle of Man girls just couldn't get the final finish on the job there. But 2 out of 3, not a bad weekend really,
I suppose. Yeah, so well, as Ben was saying there, so with the under 16 girls, it was Ashton Fick who got the only goal for the under 16 girls in a 1-1 draw in regulation time against Leek before the Island side booting on penalty shuffles. In the England women's over 45s, that 3-1 win over Deeside Ramblers, the goals coming from Donna Harrison, Elaine Wiseman and Joe Quine. And for the under 18 girls in that narrow 3-2 defeat against Timperley in the EH girls under 18 tier 2 knockout championship, as Ben mentioned, if you missed it before, as our Fern Bogatzi and Macy Crellin, they will still be in competition, though it just means they drop into the tier 2 plate competition for the weeks and months ahead. So Ben, that means all three teams, they're going to join the likes of the Isle of Man under 14 boys and Isle of Man under 14 girls in their respective age group competitions going forward. So the Isle of Man still represented going forward.
Absolutely, and it's great to hear that they will be still in the competitions going forward representing the island. And I'm sure that every time that they put one of them Manx jerseys on, they know that they're doing the island proud. No matter what the result is, we're all proud of them. And I know the Hockey Association are really proud of how many young juniors and seniors we've got coming through the island teams. It's fantastic.
Absolutely, look forward to seeing that throughout the remainder of the season. Turning back to locals matters then for game week 3 of the Alabama men's and women's senior hockey league seasons. Fixtures across the board this weekend. We'll start with the men's Premier League. 3 fixtures this weekend, and two earlier pushbacks at 12:35 p.m. One of those at Castle Rushen High School, Ben. This is one I believe that you're going to be at this weekend as well, with the close iron. Two sides will be keen to get points on the board at this early stage of the season. Castletown A take on Harlequins A.
Yeah, and this could be a really crucial game towards the bottom of the league. Of course, Castletown and Harlequins both come into this game, both with one win and one loss. So it's all to play for in this game. But I think this could be a very crucial game going forward for both sides, because looking at how form's going so far in the league, I think potentially you're looking at Harlequins A, Castletown A and Vikings B potentially battling out for that position to stay up in the league. But it's only week three, so we'll wait and see what happens.
Indeed, it is very early days, as you rightly caveat. The other 12:35pm game very much concerns the two teams at the top at this very early stage of the season. Two rivals from Douglas, Vikings A and Backers A, both with two wins from two so far. They face off at 12:35 at King Williams College. This is a big game early in the season for these two.
Absolutely, and of course the Castletown Harlequins A game and this game, Vikings A, Backers A, I've got down as game of the days.
Game of the day.
There's multiple games of the day coming up, which you'll find out shortly, Rob. But yeah, this is a crucial game. Both these teams come in undefeated so far in this league, and it's only just, if I am looking correctly, and I am, Vikings A are just on top on goal difference. However, Harlequins A gave Backers a good run for their money last weekend. They only just took the victory with the last touch of the game, but were they missing a few players? Maybe, who knows? But it'll be a feisty affair and a good match, I'm sure.
And the third game, well, this concerns the two teams right at the bottom at the moment who are both still yet to register points on the board. Valkyries A and Vikings B, they'll meet at King Williams College straight after that game at 2:05.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting one. Valkyries A, men's A, just haven't been able to get started just at the moment. They've been very close in both games and just haven't been able to get the finishing touch. As for Vikings B, again, they've been very leaky going forward and defensive-wise. But yeah, can they get something on the board this weekend? I think Valkyries might just be a bit tough for them.
Ladies Premier League, all three games pushing back at 2:05 this weekend. One that immediately stands out, Ben, is a QE2 out in the west of the island. Valkyries A up against the defending champions Castletown A.
Yeah, this is going to be a really close game. This is another game of the day I've got marked down. Castletown A, defending champions, will definitely want to keep a hold of that title. And they'll have a tough day against Valkyries A, who will definitely give the Southerners a run for their money. But will the Southerners run away with it in the west of the island? We'll wait and see.
Indeed. Elsewhere, Backers A, they'll be taking on Vikings A at the NSC.
Yeah, this one, I think I'm going to sit on the fence on this one. Looking at both teams, I mean, I watched Backers A last weekend and they were really good. And then looking at the Vikings A teams so far that they fielded, it does look quite an evenly matched game, this one. So I'm going to sit on the fence on this one.
And elsewhere, two sides who are looking to get their first points on the board this season. Harlequins A are going to be taking on Castletown B at Castle Russian High School. Could this have implications going forward, this game, Ben?
Yes, I do. And this is another game of the day I've got marked down. Because, yeah, like you say, this could be a very crucial game towards the bottom of the league. These two sides yet to get points on the board. And it's going to probably be down between these two teams at the end of the season, I reckon.
Well, those are the respective Premier League games. Looking elsewhere, we've got three games in Men's Division 1 this weekend.
First one is at 11:05, and that's Castletown B against Backers B at the NSC. I'm going to go for a Backers win on that one. Valkyries B against Harlequins B at QE2 at 12:35. I'm going to go for a Valkyries B win there. And then Ramsey A against Valkyries C at Ramsey Grammar School. I'm going to go for a Ramsey A win on that one.
Yeah, top of Men's Division 1 at the moment. Backers B and Ramsey A, two wins from two. Backers B ahead by virtue of goal difference. Three games also in Ladies Division 1 this weekend. It's Ramsey A currently leading the way in Ladies Division 1, point ahead of Castletown C.
Yeah, and it's a big game for Valkyries B, who are playing Ramsey A. I think this could be a really close game. For sure, that's at Ramsey Grammar School, 12:35. As well as at 12:35, you've got Backers C against Vikings B at the NSC. That could be a good game for Vikings B to get something from. But Backers C desperately need to get some points on the board. And then 3:35 at KWC, you see Backers B against Castletown C. And I'm going to go for a Backers B win on that one.
Now moving on to the respective Division 2 competitions. So Men's Division 2, three games also this weekend. And the state of play at the top at the moment. There are two sides with two wins from two so far that are leading the way. Backers C and Vikings C, the former of those. Backers C ahead on goal difference slightly. Only 2 points further back are Backers Colts and Castletown C. So Ben, take us through the games for Men's Division 2 this weekend.
Men's Division 2 looks like this. 11:05 is Castletown C against Vikings C. And that's at QE2. I'm going going to go for a Viking C win on that one. 3.35, you've got Backers C against Ramsey B. I'm going to go for a Backers C win on that one. And then the evening pushback at King William's College at 5:05 sees Backers Colts against Harlequin C. I'm going to sit on the fence on this one. I think this one could be a close one.
And last but certainly not least, Ladies Division 2. Just the four teams in Ladies Division 2 this season. They are Harlequins B, Ramsey B, Valkyries C and Vikings C. State of play in the table at the moment. Harlequins B leading the way with a win and a draw from their opening two, so that's 3 points on the board. A point further back are Ramsey B after the one game that they've played. Valkyries C have only played the one so far as well, with just the 1 point on the board, that draw with Harlequins B. And Vikings C still looking to get their first points on the board this season. Two defeats from two so far. Ben, the two games in Ladies Division 2 this weekend.
And the first one's at 11:05, and that's Castletown D against Harlequins B at Castle Rushton High School. I'm going to go for Harlequins B win on that one. That game I'm umpiring. I'm looking forward to umpiring that game. It should be a good one. And then at 3:30, it sees Valkyries C against Vikings C at QE2. And I'm going to go for a Valkyries C win on that one.
So very early days, of course, Ben, in the respective league campaigns. But, of course, we have another element to throw into the mix very soon, because the first rounds of the respective cup plate and bowl competitions are approaching as well.
Absolutely. So the fixtures have just been released this lunchtime today. So if you've not seen the fixtures yet, get hold of your captains, because it's been released on the captains' WhatsApp chat. So fixtures are out, and yeah, a few tasty first round fixtures to come next weekend. So plenty to look forward to.
Indeed, and once we've got those details here, we will let you know here on Manx Radio as well. We may even have that in time for you, Ben, over on Saturday Sport Classified tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see on that one, I guess.
I think I might just have it ready for
you. I think something tells me you might just have it ready, yes. Well, excellent. Well, yeah, Ben, thank you very much indeed. Ben will be out and about tomorrow as well. He'll be watching things in the Men's Premier League on Saturday Live with Paul Moran tomorrow, Castane versus Harlequins A at Castle Rushton High School. Well, thank you very much for joining us this week here on Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio over the last hour. Many thanks to our guests, as always, our correspondents, Dave Christian, Tony Meppham and Ben Cunningham, and also to Ben and Connor over at Onken AFC for their time this week chatting about the Ireland's first learning disability and neurodivergent football team as well. So that just about brings to an end tonight's programme. If you want to catch up with anything you may have missed out on the programme, this will be available as a podcast on the Manx Radio website shortly, or later this evening, I should say. And also a reminder, if you're looking to follow the FC Alaman action tomorrow, if you're not at the bowl, we've got you covered. FC Alaman versus South Liverpool, full live match commentary from 6 p.m. on Manx Radio AM 1368. Have yourself a wonderful Friday and a wonderful rest of your weekend as well. But from me and the team, until next time, it's bye for now.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by the Print Shed.